The first reading is from the book of Psalms, chapter 66, verses 8 to 12 and 16 to 20. Reading from the New International Version. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, God, tested us. You fined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to the place of abundance. Come and hear, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. Praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. The second reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 22 to 31. Reading from the New International Version. Paul then stood up in the meeting of Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God,' so you are ignorant in the very thing you worship. And this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. For God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands, and he is not served by human hands. As if he needed anything, rather he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations that they would inhabit, should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. For he is not far from any one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead." Third reading is from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 15 to 21, reading from the New International Version. "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. A spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live. You will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father. On that day, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them."
The other day, someone asked me, why? Why do we acknowledge the Kaurna peoples as the original inhabitants of this land? And why do we keep doing it every week? We actually also went on to talk about some other myths to do with Aboriginal people. Why is so much spent on the health of Aboriginal people when the truth is, there is no more spent on the health of Aboriginal people than there is on any Australian. In fact, with Aboriginal people living in some of the most remote areas, there is often less access to health than there is to most Australians. And of course, Aboriginal people have a life expectancy of about 15 to 20 years less than non-Aboriginal people. Also, the myth of Aboriginal people and alcohol. The rates of abuse of alcohol amongst Aboriginal people are significantly less than amongst other groups of people. Even those that have real problems are often seen in heard about in news reports, but they do not have more problem with alcohol than any other people. But anyway, back to the question, why acknowledge the Kaurna people? One of the things that often comes with this question is, well, I don't like being made to feel guilty. Well, that isn't why we do it. Well, it's certainly not why I do it. I don't feel guilty and I don't want to make anyone else feel guilty. And I think Aboriginal people would say they don't want us to feel guilty either. But they do want us to be truthful about the past. For me, that acknowledgement is in part an expression of gratitude and a reminder of the demands of justice. As most of you know, I came to Australia as a nearly six-year-old some 40-odd years ago, brought by my parents in search of a better life. And my parents believe that's what they found, for themselves and for me and my sister. And I am very grateful for the opportunity to live in Australia. I love living in Australia. I love this place. And I'm very aware of the many advantages that we have in this country. But I'm also aware that part of European settlement, part of establishing the foundation for what has become a society with a great standard of living, was the dispossession of Aboriginal people. And in so many places, the fragmentation of their culture and their ability to continue in a way of life that they knew and understood. The standard of living that I enjoy, the advantages I have come at a cost, and that cost is disproportionately paid by the original inhabitants of this land. And while that continues to be true, we have to work together. We have to work together until we can get to a place where all people are able to feel that deep sense of gratitude, that deep sense of gratitude of the advantages of being part of this country. Some people claim that making that acknowledgement is just tokenism and that it doesn't make any real difference. Well, whether it's tokenism or not, I guess, is up to us. We can just mouth the words here, or we can actually pause each time we hear them to let them enter who we are. For many Aboriginal people, hearing those words at the beginning of gatherings is an important thing. They would say, yes, it does make a difference. A difference to hear that the history of my people matters and is not forgotten. Last year, Bill Matheson wrote in our April Vision magazine an article which explores this question, and I commend it to you. Bill concluded, "If a modest ritual helps us remember that Australia is home to ancient peoples and culture and prompts us to reflect on the place of Aboriginal Australians in our history, that can only be good." Our reading from Acts today reminds us that our acknowledgement of the Kaurna people is also a way of acknowledging the way that God has been present in this land through the people who have lived in this place we call Australia, through the many thousands of years of their existence here. From one ancestor, God made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and God allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for God and find him. Though indeed God is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. We Europeans did not bring God here to Australia. nor did we bring that hunger for God that lies at the heart of our faith. An Aboriginal theologian, Jinniyinny Gondara, writes, "Aboriginal Christians are convinced and believe that the God of the Bible was with us and our people in the dream time. He was very active in our history. He has come to us in many different ways and many different forms to reveal his presence. He spoke to us through his creation, the beauty of the nature that clothes itself in God's glory, that convinced us and made us believe that he's also the God of the Aboriginal race in Australia. Our Aboriginality is God's gift to us as a people, of which we are very proud. We believe that the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob is also the God of our forefathers. In him we have survived and maintained our true Aboriginal spirituality through our religious ceremonies and social life. We are prepared to throw away any wrong interpretation of the Creator Spirit, which the Holy Spirit now reveals to us." And last year, the Uniting Church included this understanding in the new preamble to its constitution. The First Peoples had already encountered the Creator God before the arrival of the colonisers. The Spirit was already in the land, revealing God to the people through law, custom and ceremony. The same love and grace that was finally and fully revealed in Jesus Christ sustained the First Peoples and gave them particular insights into God's ways. No, we didn't bring God to Australia. God was well and truly already here. What we did bring, though, is what we know of God through the traditions that have been handed on to us, the traditions that have been built around and upon the revelation of God that we know in Jesus Christ. In the reading from John's Gospel, we are reminded of how much we can see of God when we follow the way of Jesus, the way of loving one another. We are always called to hold our way of living, our way of celebrating God's goodness in our lives, to this measure. Does it allow us to live Jesus' way, to follow Jesus' commandment to love? So, why the acknowledgement? Of course, the acknowledgement alone is not enough, any more than the changes to the Uniting Church Constitution are enough in themselves to make sure that Aboriginal people are given the opportunities to express their spirituality, any more than the apology offered on our behalf by Kevin Rudd in 2008 is enough on its own. But these are ways of reminding ourselves, ways of reminding ourselves each week that we are called to join in God's work of reconciliation, especially in this place where we live, especially with all who share this country, with the history that that brings. And hopefully, hearing that acknowledgement each week is a prompt to us, to remind us that we are to be about the business of doing some practical reconciliation in the way that we live, not just on Sunday mornings, but in all parts of our lives. I want to talk to a couple of people now who have some plans to do something practical about reconciliation. Come on, Jesse. You need to stand here at the microphone, and I'll try not to get blinded by the light here. So tell us, Jesse, what have you got planned this year?
Well, our school each year takes 14 Year 9s to Darwin for the Darwin Indigenous Immersion, and so that's what I'll be going on in the next school holidays.
So this is a trip? So you start in Darwin, but it's not just in Darwin, is it?
No, it moves up into the Arnhem Land.
Yep.
And then through there onto the other eastern side of the Arnhem Land.
Yep.
And I can't remember the tribe name,
yeah.
But we spend a few days there and we run sporting clinics for them and we help out in the community and do stuff like that.
Okay. And this is an opportunity for you to get Aboriginal, to know Aboriginal people better?
Yeah. We've got an Indigenous Academy at our school and that's the reason we can do it, because you can't just walk into an Indigenous tribe. You have to have permission from the elders, and because there a lot of the Aboriginal tribes thank Ross Trevor for taking their kids to a school where they can get education, they give permission for us to run trips and learn about their culture.
Mm-hmm. And do you hope that learning more about the culture will help you to get closer to Aboriginal people?
I think at our school we already are really close, but it would indeed help us learn more, because part of their culture is when they're not in their tribe, they're not allowed to talk about their culture. And so when we go there, we'll be able to learn about them.
Yes, and that will give you a bit more understanding of their history and the way of life that that used to be.
Yeah.
Yes.
And even in some cases
still is. Yeah. Okay. So sounds a very exciting trip. When you come back, will you come and tell us about your trip?
Sure thing.
That would be really good. I actually know that this is going to be quite an expensive trip for Jessie, and Jessie's going to be doing some fundraising in the next few months.
Yes,
yes, yes, he says. So, and I understand that you have some delicious plans for fundraising. Is that right, Jessie? Yes.
Me and my mum will be making muffins and soup, and it would be a really big help. My mum will have an order form after, but it would be a really big help if anyone would like to help support us and buy some of those things.
Okay, and that will go towards your trip.
Yes.
Okay, thanks for telling us about that.
Colin.
Colin, can you tell us some ways of practical reconciliation that acknowledgement each Sunday may prompt us to be part of?
Well, I've always thought if you want to learn more about people or to know how they operate, is to either live with them or work with them or eat with them. But I think living and working with people, and that's what I find in my job. And I think it's been very, I'm fortunate because I tend to work with farmers, and visits to farmers, it can be near Burra or in the middle of Vietnam or Indonesia or anywhere. Most visits to farmers either begin or end in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the best place to actually learn how people
Live, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
but on things that we can do, I mean, social justice, after the, some of you may remember in January, Denise Champion preached on Covenanting Sunday here, and she left a challenge with us as to consider forming some sort of relationship with the United Aboriginal and Islander Christian Congress Church at Salisbury. So a group of us from social justice have met since then with Denise, and we've been sort of listening because we really were at a loss. We didn't really know how to go forward. But it's been great to be able to share and discuss and listen to Denise. So our plan at this stage is for a group of us to go and worship at the Congress Church at 11:30 on one Sunday, and I'm reliably informed that if anyone would like to join us, you can worship here, because 11:30 is Aboriginal time, so you know, you can turn up a little afterwards and it probably hasn't begun. And we would like then to issue an invitation to a group of them to come and join us in a potluck tea. So we've talked with Mission Projects and we've decided that maybe we'll make it a special potluck tea.
A bonus.
Yes, a bonus one. But it'll still have the travel log segment. We hope that they can show us a little bit about the life of living in the communities where many of them come from. And I found that an amazing experience in the 90s when I worked on a project in the Pitlands. And It was quite an eye-opener in many directions. And the other thing, I think, if you remember back in the last vision, I think it was, I wrote an article about an organisation called Indigenous Volunteers, ICV. Indigenous Community Volunteers, excuse me. And I think this is a fantastic program, because what you do, any one of us can sign up. We just give them our name and a CV, what we can do. And then when they have connections with all the various communities in Australia, and when an Aboriginal community wants a plumber or a chef or someone to teach them how to cook or somebody who's good at knitting or making blankets or whatever, carpentry, then they apply for
a
volunteer. And to me, it's the only program I've ever come across where the program finds the volunteer. Most programs operate like World Mission, for example, where the volunteer finds the program. You know, we volunteer to the church.
And you shape the program to suit the volunteer.
Yeah. Or you try and fit. Yeah. So you have people ending up teaching when perhaps that isn't really what they should be doing. But whereas this one, it's the volunteer, it's the program, and I think that's a really tremendous thing. Yeah. And the other thing we learned on Thursday night at Urban Mission Network meeting is that the About Face program, which has been operated by the...
So About Face is about faith and culture exchange?
Yeah, yes. Yep. And it's been operating it was operating in Tonga when we were there in 1984, I think, or 86, I can't remember which time we were there that a group actually came. But up until then it was only for young people. Now it's all ages. And so that's a great way to go and experience the community. Mm. On the one proviso, I think Margaret and I have for that sort of program, is that you have to somehow accept that the welcome is not how it is afterwards. And it's a very good friend of ours who was a Peace Corps in Tonga used to say, I just wish there was something between the overwhelming welcome that you get at the beginning and the almost total ignore that you suffer 4 months later.
Yeah. So just to be about Faith and Culture Exchange is a program which takes a group of people into another culture.
Yes, and it's a home, usually they're homestays, so you actually, and that's a good thing about it, because you actually get to stay in people's homes or...
And meet them in the kitchen.
Yes.
Yes.
And we're better place.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, Colin. Another way that we can be about practical reconciliation is by supporting programs that Aboriginal people seek to run themselves to address some of the issues they see in their cultures, particularly some of the issues, the programs that seek to deal with fixing some of the health issues that have been identified. The Congress, which is the part of the Uniting Church, which Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders are part of, the Congress, particularly the Congress congregation in Salisbury, support a lot of people who come to Adelaide for healthcare. And our retiring offering today will help support them as they do this. They hope to run education programs, to develop a community garden, to help people understand how to take care of their own health. A lot of people come down for dialysis, and for other ways of dealing with problems to do with kidney disease. So today we have a retiring offering, and if you would like to help support that project called A Pilgrimage of Healing, please leave your offering in the bowl that's on the table as you leave. May our acknowledgement of our past help us to move together into God's future. And may our commitment to reconciliation, our working together in many ways, help more people to know the presence of the God in whom they live and move and have their being. Amen.